Melody Cederstrom, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Today, Dave Allen, he's becoming a little grandpa today, so he's missing today's program, and Pastor Butch Paul said he would join us for today's program. We got a lot of guests today. We have Pastor Butch Paul. We have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today. And then we're going to have Greg Hunter for about a few minutes after the going into the second segment, as he called me prior to the program and has some great information that he really wanted to share with you. And it is interesting because it's in reference to the Basel Agreement, the Tier 1, these banks have to hold a certain amount of assets, and it's actually increased in gold. I remember back in 2012 reporting on it that it was, I believe, 50%. Now it's up to 100%. That starts this year. Interesting coincidences, ladies and gentlemen. So we have Greg Hunter filling us in on this information. So just make sure you stay tuned today. And today is February 20th, 2019. It is Wendy's. Good afternoon, Butch. First.
Good afternoon, and it's windy. It's Wednesday, and Wendy's with us too.
And it's windy outside, also.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. Thank you very much. Very excited to have both our guests today. So let's get started right away with gold prices. Had a little pressure on gold today. $1,339, $1,339 down to $30. Silver was able to maintain its lead up 7 cents today at $16.13. Platinum was up 8 at $831, with palladium up 7 at $1,493. USDX today was weaker by 0.02 at 96.52. Crude oil was up 81 cents at $56.90. And the paper markets today, and this will be a surprise to me too, I haven't had a chance to follow them at all today. The Dow was up 64 points at 25,955. The NASDAQ was up 2 at 7,489. The S&P was up 5 at 2,784. 10-year yield still holding at 2.65%. European Asian markets were all positive overnight, and it's just another great day in the neighborhood. No worries, no problems. Don't worry, be happy, and lose your money. Anyway, then you'll be really happy, won't you? 1-800-375-4188. And as it is Wednesday, we have Wendy from Apothecary Herbs. Wendy Wilson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, gang.
Hello.
I thought we'd talk about the new kidney stone prediction tool. I don't think we've talked about this, have we?
I don't think we have.
No. Well, in February this year, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, New York, was reporting on this new prediction tool for kidney stones. And we've kind of talked about kidney stones before and how they can significantly diminish the risk of how you can diminish the risk of getting them. But a majority of health problems do come when your diet's off, or if you're taking certain medications, it can put you at a greater risk of kidney stones. So I want to take a look at this new prediction tool to see what that may help us or may not help us. But the researchers at the Mayo Clinic, they assure us they've tracked a group of kidney stone sufferers for about 30 years. They wanted to glean the criteria that shows the risk for kidney stones, and so that these patients were really profiled for kidney stone disease. And what medicine is doing is they're collecting a lot of this big data, putting it into their systems so their artificial intelligence can utilize it as a prediction tool. So the collection and correlation of all this data to find elements, you know, who would be at high risk of developing stones, and also to have repeat kidney stone problems. So this is what they're doing. So what they have found so far is patients start out young having stones typically. Also, they're predominantly male. Females do get them, but more men than women get kidney stones. Also, they tend to have a high body mass index. In other words, the males tend to be slightly overweight. And if females do get kidney stones, they typically have a history of having had one pregnancy, and they also have a family tree where people had kidney stones in their family history. So I thought that was all very interesting.
Mm-hmm. very much.
Yep. Well, now, John Liske, he's a medical doctor at the Mayo Clinic at the Epidemiology Project, and he says each of the risk factors we identified are entered into our model, which then calculates an estimate of risk of having kidney stones within the next 5 to 10 years. So medicine goes to all this trouble of studying this problem for 30 years to predict your likelihood of stones. But my question is, okay, so what do they plan to do about it, right? They give you the news, hey, Melody, you may have kidney stones in 5 years, but what do they plan to do about it to help you, right?
Right.
Okay, so according to their report, the Mayo Clinic, which got published in the preceding Mayo Clinic Proceedings Journal in September, medicine is really looking at ways to reduce the risk and reoccurrence of the kidney stones, but really they don't need to look very far to see it really involves what you're putting into your body, okay? However, there's no financial incentive for medical science to educate patients on diet when there's more incentive to develop studies and drugs, you see? Mm-hmm. So far the research team has developed an app that you can download to your phone to help predict your stones, if you're going to have stones, and they collect that data also off your phone, so you actually answer questions periodically to the app. So according
nothing like tracking your health, right?
Oh, I know. I know. Well, now, Dr. Liske also says by knowing the likelihood of future kidney stone episodes, this could help patients with starting, quote, drug regimens to prevent future attacks. So there's the drugs again.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well, let's look at some of the drugs that actually create kidney stones for you. Here's a few lists of medications that will put you at greater risk of getting kidney stones. Your allergy medicines. They see an uptick in kidney stones when you're on, especially during the allergy season, because people are taking a lot of decongestants or an epinephrine and a lot of Sudafed and stuff like that, and it can increase your likelihood of getting kidney stones. Also, if you're on diuretics, they increase your risk of stones because these drugs are also prescribed with a lot of cardiovascular medications, people on high blood pressure pills, congestive heart failure, renal disease, and these drugs tend to create what is called a triateramine stone inside their kidney. Also, your antiviral medications, so those things that are known as protease inhibitors that are used to treat viral infections, things like liver disease, AIDS, hepatitis, they actually increase your risk of stones. Also, if you're on any anticoagulants for blood thinners or steroids, long-term use of steroids increase the absorption of calcium, creating a type of calcium kidney stone. Also, if you're on chemotherapy drugs, they break down cells and increase the risk of uric acid stones in your kidneys. Okay? But let's get to the foods. You know, a lot of foods can put you at a greater risk of getting kidney stones. Typically, the Western diet, notorious for creating kidney stones. And depending on how rich your diet is in culprit foods that we're going to list here, your genetic weakness is also a factor. It's going to determine if you're going to get stones and how frequently you get them. So certain foods cause your kidneys to clog up with particulates, and these particulates accumulate in the fine filters of the kidney tissue and create stones, and certain foods create a higher than normal amount of uric acids, struvites, which are made from ammonia and phosphate, and also magnesium. Also, alkaline urine with high calcium and phosphate also is a problem, and so you want to be aware of these foods that create these environments inside the kidney tissue. So here's a list of the foods. Milk-based animal foods, anything that's cow's milk, cheese, low-fat versions of them as well. Oxalate foods like your spinach, beets, and rhubarb. Also, caffeine-rich beverages like soda, coffee, and tea. Carbonated beverages. Artificial sweeteners because they impair the kidney function and inhibit the filtering, so you got to be careful. And by the way, they got artificial sweeteners in all your chewing gum out there. You can't find any chewing gum hardly with regular sugar in it anymore.
Well, I don't chew gum, so.
Yeah. Meats are if you got a diet that has a lot of meat in it, a lot of protein, uric acid buildup stresses your kidneys and also creates stones. Sardines, they contain what is called purine, and it creates an increase of ammonia, and you can get those ammonia kidney stones. Also, salt, the processed salt, no natural mineral nutrition. It's all been taken out, and it puts your stress on your kidneys. Some of your leafy greens, spinach, okra, Swiss chard, if you eat a lot of that, can also put stress on the kidneys. Also, your processed foods affects your co-function of your liver and your kidneys. Your liver and your kidneys work together. A lot of people don't realize they coordinate filtering. Also, nuts like almonds and cashews, eat too much of that. Vitamin C supplements, nobody talks about them creating kidney stones, but they do. Chocolate and sweet potatoes.
I don't want to hear any more of this. You got me at chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Well, she done cut out about 3/4 of my diet. I tell you what now.
Well, everything in moderation, obviously, you know.
Obviously, yes.
But you know, getting back to this crystal ball that medicine has, this algorithm program. Well, we really don't need a crystal ball or your kidney stone predictor tool. Really, to determine your risk and likelihood of getting stones, all you need to do is examine this diet a bit. Look at any of your metabolic weaknesses in your family tree, because we tend to eat like our relatives and the weakness is passed on. Also, if we do this, we can also reduce the risk of kidney stones caused by prescription medicines. You know, if we watch our lifestyle, we won't be put on those drugs that also put us at risk. So maintenance through nutrition and toxin removal goes a long way to avoid a lot of these complications, especially when our organs as we get older. So if you just cleanse and nourish, if you take that approach to doing your system organ cleanses and putting in good nutrition, clean organic foods, these two steps seldom promote any kind of kidney stone issue. And this is why the health authorities don't tell you about it. So when you adopt the healthy lifestyle, Mediterranean diet's a good one to pick if you're looking at one. It gives you a function of freedom, actually, and you have extreme power over your health just by diet. So just by cleaning up your diet, from getting rid of your junk food and excesses to a healthier, cleaner diet, you change your DNA in 6 days. That's how much power you have.
Wow.
That's that really
amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, if you think about it, with all the regulation that we have in place on healthcare to supposedly keep us healthy, what we find instead is really epidemics of ill health, and people are being propped up by drugs. And the system in place is kind of flawed in that respect and promotes failure, if you think about it. So actually, modern medicine is now calling many of the illnesses that we get later in life as normal, and they predict that you will have these diseases, you will develop them as you age. Well, the illnesses have become common, but they're certainly not normal. Here's an example. If everyone on the planet came down with cancer from Wi-Fi exposure, medicine would call that normal, right? They would. Compare that to Noah, who lived 800 years old. He lived that age. And at 400 years of age, he built the ark with his three sons. It took them over 100 years to build it. Now, keep in mind, the people before the flood, they had a different lifestyle. They didn't eat any animal foods. Think about it. So, did the consumption of animal foods change our DNA, shorten our cell telomeres to produce a fraction of the normal lifespan? That's a question, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, you mentioned something. You're right that I see these kidney stones in younger people.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than sometimes adults anymore.
Well, you know, I see it a lot in construction and service work folks, because they're always in a truck going somewhere, and they're stopping at the drive-thru, and they're getting the processed food and soda, a big recipe for kidney stones. So they have a big risk of getting kidney stones.
Cheese, dairy products is also another big I think a major impact on that. Yeah.
Get those calcium stones going. So when people ask me why I think people are so sick, well, a lot of it's they're not getting the right nutrients. So a lack of minerals is a big problem today, as well as not getting vitamins, omega-3 fatty acids. So what we're left with is having to do more to combat the lack that's in our foods and stop the degeneration process. Okay, and I knew when I was in herb school, Melanie, that the key was to remove toxins and put nutrition in, and this it also supports your immune system function, so you can avoid a lot of those normal illnesses medicine prescribes a mountain of drugs for. So apothecary herbs, now they have come out with a kidney stone herb liquid, and what that does is it helps cleanse the fine filters of the kidneys, get the particulate buildup off the filters to reduce the risk of the stones and the recurrence of stones. And now that, you know, if you ask me, that's a predictor tool. There you go. Just an herbal predictor tool that God has given us, and God has promised us his herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations from Genesis to Revelation. And God can't lie. So I bank on that when it comes to maintaining health. I use the herbal tools instead of the prescription tools.
Such simple solutions to so many of our problems, and yet so many just ignore what's right in front of them.
A lot of people are so conditioned you need powerful drugs to do anything. No, the body responds to gentle mineral and protein, amino acid nutrition you find compacted in a lot of these medicinal plants. That's why they're bitter, because they have a lot of power in them. So people just forget that medicine started out making drugs from plants originally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, people reject what's right in front of them, just like, you know, here what I do, gold and silver, people reject what the easiest and the most simplest measure to protect yourself financially. And herbs is the same way with your health.
Right.
Yeah. Give the listeners some contact information.
Well, absolutely.
Please.
They can visit us at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or call for a free product catalog, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Also, if anybody's on our website, do click on the Herbal Detective. It's an interaction program. You can answer a few questions and get a mystery discount code up to 35% off. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, sounds cool. Ooh.
She is a wealth of information, is she not?
She absolutely is. So take advantage of her, listeners. Give her a call and get some of those herbs into your medicine cabinet and replace those medicines if you can. Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back, and we'll have Greg joining us to talk to us about the Basel Agreement. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And we'll go over the specials on our third segment of the program today. I want to go right to our special guest, Greg Hunter. He called me right prior to the program, and he wanted to talk about the Basel III. It's been a while since we've talked about it, and it does have some very interesting dates and some requirements that are coming due 2019. And we all have to remember that the Basel Agreement was introduced, I guess, after the financial crisis. And it was intended to strengthen bank capital requirements by increasing the bank liquidity and decreasing bank leverage. So, hello, Greg, and thank you for calling me and letting our listeners know, updating our listeners on the Basel Accord.
Listen, good to be on. This is, this is something that should be talked about on CNBC and Fox Business and actually anybody. Anybody should be talking about this because it's huge. We're talking about the financial capital requirements of the global banking system. Big deal. Would it not be? Because we did have a near-fatal meltdown in 2008 and 2009, that's what they call it, a meltdown, credit seizure, the whole deal. And so what the central banks have been doing, let's back up a little bit, you know, all the while that you've had the CTFC ignoring the fraud that is the naked short selling, and people have pled guilty to it. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy fact. Multiple banks have pled guilty to rigging the gold market, the silver market. Deutsche Bank, one of my favorite poster childs for a fraud and insolvency. Deutsche Bank's admitted to it. Multiple people have admitted to all kinds of other fraud, rigging LIBOR, Forex, futures, commodities, discounts, you know, that the CME talks about in 2013. Volume discounts to central banks. Why are they rigging all that? Anyway, I digress. Let's go back to let's get into the weeds of Basel III, but really it's not that weedy. It's very illuminating, frankly. And as of April 1st, now they came up with Basel III, that's Basel Switzerland, this is the standards for the world banking system, and said, you know, right now gold can only be valued at 50%, 50 cents on the dollar, you know, because it's such a risky asset, they said. And so, you know, and things like treasuries, you know, that's a risk-free asset, a tier one capital asset. Oh, yeah, no risk of somebody getting paid back in confetti. Now we know there's an extra $21 trillion out there, according to Dr. Mark Skidmore at Michigan State University and his team. So we really have $43 trillion in debt, not the 22. It's 22 plus 21, 43. And so so they thought, you know, that treasuries and sovereign debt were so, you know, risk-free. As Mario Draghi is buying everything in sight, you know, bonds are risk-free. Yeah, ask that of the Puerto Rican sovereign bondholders, where Puerto Rico said, yeah, $74 billion, we're not paying that back. We're going to keep the lights on, the trash picked up, and the sewage flowing, and we're going to stiff bondholders. Yeah, okay. So, in 2012, Basel got together and said, now, we're going to make gold a risk-free asset, just like a treasury, but it won't be in 2012 or 13 or 14. It'll be in April 1st of 2019. Yep. What? Say that again. Gold is going to become considered a risk-free asset April 1st of 2019. Are you letting that sink in, boys and girls, with the price of gold rising? And gold is going to be considered a risk-free asset on the bank, central bank's books and big bank books as of April 1st. What do you suppose that banks are going to want to do with their 100% valued asset that is part of their tier one capital. Do you think that central bankers are going to allow people to drive that now 100% valued asset into the dirt? Do you think they're going to let people short sell that asset?
Nope.
Any takers on what they think they may be doing with that? Do you think that they're going to allow people to go in with a half the year's mining production that they don't have and short the thing down $50? Do you think they're going to let their $1,340 or whatever it is today an ounce gold be shorted down to $1,150? Do you think they're going to take a 20% hit on their tier one asset? Do you think they're going to allow that? Anybody? Any takers?
Absolutely not, because they've been buying it for these past years while they were in there tinkering with these markets.
And I've long said, and I've said it on your show, at some point, they're going to take this market, and they're going to go, ding, 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 that's over. We're going to ricochet this to the moon. What do you suppose they'd like their asset valued at in the future? Like they always say, what are your investment goals? Let me tell you my investment goals. I want you, Mr. Investment Broker, to make as much dang money for me as you can. That's my goal. We're going to tailor you an investment portfolio. Really? Hey, tailor this. Make all the money you can for me. Now, what do you think the banks are going to do? What do you think the value of that risk-free, tier one, 100% valued asset is going to end up being? All they can get it to be, I think.
All they can get it, yeah.
Especially when these bonds start paying in confetti. Or they start saying, we're going to hold them to maturity. Wait, I need my money now. What happens if everybody says, okay, I want my money now. I want my money now. Oh, and what happens when they start saying, and this is the most scary thing, because I had Craig Hempke on, he talked about all the other, he's a super conservative, careful analyst. When he comes out and says, I think we're hitting new all-time highs in other global currencies as we speak, and I think we'll be hitting new all-time highs in dollar terms in the next 18 months, and it could be shorter. We could have a huge bump in gold. And I'm not trying to, get people to run out and put all their money in gold. I don't sell gold. You do, but this is why you should have some, because the federal banks are sure going to have some. They're going to have some. And they're going to value it at $700 an ounce. They're going to value it at 14 or, whatever the going price is. And I'll bet you the suppression game is going to come to a grinding, screeching, metal-on-metal halt soon. That's my bet. Do you think they're going to let them short that thing down to $1,100 an ounce? How about $1,000? Do you think they're going to let that happen?
Absolutely not.
Think about the size of the gain of the debacle. I mean, we had a credit crisis. And that's just a simple term. We had about 165 trillion. This is according to multiple people, best selling author, Naomi Prinz, whoever. And then we drove it up to nearly right around 250 trillion. We had a debt problem, and we grew it by another, 90 something trillion, 85 trillion. More than the global GDP, we grew the debt. That fixed it. That'll certainly fix it. So we just have all this debt, and that's stuff that they can manufacture more of pretty easy with bonds. I mean, that's what all bonds are, is a ball of debt that pays off in a specific currency. And if they have an SDR, you still have, you have a ball of currencies that are going to pay off this fraud. And so, I'm telling you, this new Tier 1 asset thing that they instituted 7 years ago so everybody could buy all the gold they could. I think last year was the biggest central bank gold buying spree they've had since, I think Nemke said 68. Oh, just a couple of years before Nixon closed the gold window. So, I just think that this is a huge milestone, and it is happening. It will happen. It is going to happen. They are going to allow a 100% valuation And then you look at all the other demand of China and Russia and India, and India buying season's coming up. And then we have, you know, the economy is talking about, well, they need to have mortgage prices as low as they can have them because, you know, people, you know, the 10-year treasury is now 2.6 something, the 30 years below, at least it was yesterday, below 3%, which is crazy nuttyville. You know, I mean, hi, Melody Cedarstrom. Yeah, sit down here. Listen, if you will agree to it for a 10-year, tie your money up for 10 years, we'll give you 2.6%. But hey, listen, if you tie your money up for another 20 years, we're going to give you another 0.4%. How's that sound to you?
You know, a lot of people, all their retirement accounts, their pensions, what, a third of them are in these bonds and treasuries.
They're going to get creamed.
Greg, you mentioned China and India. China's buying gold again at a rapid pace. I guess.
Well, they also just borrowed 5% of their GDP too. So they just borrowed 5% of their GDP. They just borrowed 5%, which was an unbelievable. I mean, China better have that gold. They've created more money, and did we create? Look at it. Of course, who believes the accounting? You know, if you take a look at the official accounting, we've created $22 trillion of debt since we started our nation. I think China created about $20 trillion of debt. It's either 20 or 30, Penta knows this, in the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, they've created 20 to 30 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's absolutely astronomical in terms of the amount of debt that's out there, that nobody thinks that there's a downside for this, but there is going to be a downside for this. And the banks full well know it, and they are now valuing as of April 1st, and you'll see the price run up and it could explode. I don't know, I'm not saying that the end of the world is here, but I am saying there's a huge, huge change in what is considered a top-flight, risk-free asset, which is now... here's the best part, okay? Here's the best part. Okay, so Central Bank says, well, I'm going to have gold. No, you can't buy GLD. No derivatives. No promissory notes. No. This has to be in your vault, audited, with zero counterparty claims on those ounces. That's how you can have 100% risk-free asset. You have to hold it in your vault, and there can be no other claims, zero, other than your claim, one claim, you, on that asset. That's all you get. Nothing else. There's no substitutes. There's no funny money. There's no, I'll promise to pay you Thursday for a hamburger today. No. What do you suppose that's going to do to supply-demand issue with the banks? You think some people may be coming up to people who are holding their gold and saying, yeah, we'd like to have my gold now. Let's just say there's 10 claims for every ounce. It's way more than that, but let's just say there's 10. 10 claims?
Yep.
Wow.
This is a sea change, and think about this now. Your audience should think about this, because, listen, folks, I'm not that smart. I've just got a general studies degree. I paid for it myself. I'm very proud of it. But you mean to tell me I am blowing the whistle on this and there is nobody at Fox or CNBC or any of the other channels or any of the, how about the New York Times, Washington Post? Hey, ding, 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 there's a huge sea change for what is considered Tier 1 capital to bolster the reserve so we don't have another 2008. This is a huge deal, and nobody's decided to report on it? Really? Wow. You think, you know, there's a thing that Jim Sinclair says, and that is, this is something that's too stupid to be stupid. It's too stupid to be stupid. It's a shh. Don't report. No, we're not proving that. No, you can't talk. No, don't do that.
Well, we all know why they do it, Greg. I mean, they can't have any type of panic. They can't have people going out and protecting themselves. They need to stroke Wall Street until, you know, there is no more tomorrow. Same way, it's all a, you know, global synchronized destruction of monetary policies and whatever little assets that people have anymore. And they can't say anything because they're going to have to continue to buffalo these people. And so, well, you know, the story goes on. And you know, you're right. Media should. Journalists should.
This isn't a small thing. This is a huge thing. This is every central bank in the world, every big bank in the world, every bank. That means my local bank, if they want, they don't have to buy treasuries. They could go buy, you know, 100 good delivery bars and put it in their vault as an asset.
Yep.
A small bank. They can use that now at 100%.
Amazing. Amazing. Exciting, but amazing.
It's amazing. And, you know, I called, just for the grins of it, I called one of the big coin dealers here. He's a nice guy, nice people. They've been in business for 20 years. Hey, what do you have over there in terms of gold eagles and buffaloes and, you know, what do you got over there? He could scrape together 11 ounces of gold, two of which were... two half ounces proof. He said, well, I'll sell it to you at just a really normal price. Okay, I'm just inquiring. This is a guy, a big gold dealer, had hardly anything in his inventory. Hardly anything. So, folks, I'm just telling you, this is a big change that the news reporting agency should...
Coming home.
Should get this, and they're not. And I'm getting another call, so I've got to go. But, you know, you folks...
Right. Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
I just think you're going to see a lot of demand, and not just demand from regular people and billionaires. I think demand from central banks. I big demand.
Well, yeah,
sure do.
They do have to cover because they leased out all the gold and they continue to carry it on their books as though they have it. So, yeah, they got to replenish it. So, yeah, you betcha. There comes a day when the price of gold with them buying it, you betcha they're going to be, you know, pushing that price high.
Hemke has a big discussion about gold and silver, particularly palladium too. And he's got a big discussion on it on USA Watchdog. And I'm just saying it for, and he's got also got a paper. You can go to the site and at the end, and then there's a little sponsorship for you back there too. So they have your number and all that stuff on there. And thank you for being such a great and honest sponsor for me. And I'm not endorsing you. I just tell you the truth. I don't have, you've been there for 4 years. I've never had a single complaint where everybody's, I didn't get my stuff. She ripped me off. I never hear that. So anyway, with that, I'm going to leave. And, you know, folks, protect yourself. And pray.
Absolutely.
And put Christ first, but protect yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after these few short messages.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I appreciate you joining us today, and I appreciate Greg Hunter and joining us for that brief period today. And we'll try to get him on for his full hour here maybe in the next week or two. But yeah, we'll have to update you a little bit more on the Basel Agreement and so forth. It really is fascinating and exciting. And ladies and gentlemen, the people are the last to know. It's all by design. That's the way it's supposed to be. The wealthy get out first, the banks get out first, everybody gets out, and you're supporting them.
They want to milk the public as long as they can.
Well, sure, because that supports their ability to go in and get their money out. If the people got their money out first, well, you know, it's a rush to, you know, to see who can get it first, but they keep the people fat, dumb, and happy, thinking that their investments are doing well. Hey, I talked to somebody a week ago, and I said, oh man, I'm sure glad the stock market came back. I didn't like it when it was down, when I was losing $40,000. They're real happy that it's back. That's how they get you. So I got to stay in there. I got my $40,000 back. You didn't get anything back. You got some numbers on a paper that changed. Because if you don't take... you have nothing. It's just digits on a paper.
Well, you know, if Greg is right, and I'm sure he is, the Basel Agreement is what he says it is.
It is.
People that didn't purchase the gold now could really be crying in a couple of months. That's what we're talking about, a month and a half away here, roughly. They're going to be crying over this, and they should be. But I would think it'd be smarter to buy it now. If you just 4 1/1 ounce, get it now, why the price is still low, because if they do start using this as a real asset, and I can't believe the banks are going to try to refill their stock, so to speak, their store, that's going to be a huge, huge, huge move, because they haven't had gold in the bank in how many years, Melody?
A lot.
About 100 years, roughly, I'm guessing. So when they start to redo this and get it up to 100%, we'll say, asset approvable, there's going to be a demand for gold and probably silver that's going to be unbelievable, and probably other precious metals also. So all I can tell people is, if you're going to order it, get it now. Let's say a month and a half now, it doesn't really change that much, and it goes up a few bucks. It still goes up a few bucks. But what if a month and a half now it does go through, all this happens, and it takes a few months for it to fall in place, and gold doubles, triples, or even more than that? How glad would you be that you purchased it while still $1,200 an ounce, or $1,300 an ounce? Well, how glad would you be to do that if it went to 5,000? And it's very possible that could happen.
Oh, absolutely! And the funny thing about it is, gold at 5,000, people might, depending on what's going on, people still going to be buying it at 5,000. People will be trying to buy gold when gold gets to 5,000. Trust me, things are going to be nasty. Gold's not going to rise to 5,000 on just on everyday news. No. People will be jumping out of buildings when gold is 5,000. Not because of gold 5,000, but because they lost everything, every penny that they have. just like the stories that we've heard before.
Oh, yeah.
What happens during financial collapses? And we're just not talking here in the States in one single country. We're just not talking one single country like Japan or China. We're talking about the globe. And yeah, there's a lot of poor countries out there that won't be affected. But those who have worked, you know, Europe, China, United States, it's I get excited about the price of gold rising, but yet I understand what's going to happen when it does rise. Butch, you know,
it's kind of a catch 22, isn't it?
Part, yeah, it is. It is.
You know, it's exciting to see it, and people that have taken your advice over the years, as I've tried to do, and I certainly have not been able to purchase a lot. But if you had 10 ounces of gold at $1,200 an ounce, and it goes to $5,000 an ounce, you've done pretty well for yourself, haven't you? I mean, what could you do with that? When everybody else is selling cheap because they can't hang on to the stuff, you know, Melly, this is something we need to think about. And this sounds maybe like a vulture setting for something to happen, but I don't mean it that way. But when people can't afford their stuff, they're going to sell as cheap as possible to get out of debt. If you have the funds to buy it, then it's time to buy it, is it not?
Absolutely. And it's like
go ahead.
And the problem is people will be trying to sell their stuff, but there aren't going to be any buyers.
Because
there's
it.
Not going to be anybody with any money. And the banks, all these loans, all the debt. Public debt is higher than it was back at the 2008, going into that crisis.
Yes,
all the
is.
Debt, just like Greg Hunter, all the debt, global debt, government debt, private debt, public, all debt is greater than it was in 2008. And I don't know about you, Butch, but I think back in 2006, 2007, it seemed a whole lot better to where, I mean, we saw the people creating the money. You know, they were going in and taking out these loans on their homes and so forth, about second mortgages and lines of credit and so forth. This time it is a little different because people aren't feeling that good about things. And that means they don't have anything to.
Well, the housing boom was slowed way down. It didn't slow down much until 2008. You know that. It kept right on going.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, there is a difference. There's a different atmosphere, if you want to put it that way.
I suppose.
Things just don't smell right. Yeah, there's something different here, and I don't know what's going to happen when this goes in place, but I do know that if somebody's going to buy anything, if they, I hate to use the word gambling, but if they think they're gambling to buy gold, I think you're playing a fool's game to hang on the paper. I'll be quite honest with you. I don't care whether it's in the stock market. I don't care if it's in bonds. I don't care if it's in the bank in cash. That cash is dying every day.
Yeah.
Every day the cash is dying. I went to the grocery store yesterday with Marcia. I want to tell you what, Melody Cedarstrom. I don't like grocery shopping. I'm so cotton picking tight sometimes, I probably won't buy anything because it's just so expensive to buy. It's ridiculous, the price of food. Ridiculous. And don't tell me the dollar's not dying because I've been shopping for a lot of years. Well, I could purchase for $5 40 years ago. Won't buy anything today. Maybe a loaf and a half of bread. Now, this is amazing. And don't tell me the dollar's not dying. So you hang on to your paper. Thanks going to save you. Hang on to your 401ks and IRAs. You're going to find out the paper's paper. And it's worth the paper's written on. And that's it. I didn't mean to take every Melody, but that really bothers me that people don't think enough ahead to realize that a hard asset, a real asset, will trump paper any time, will it not?
Absolutely. Any paper is just a promise to pay. It's a promise to pay. It's a promise.
And, well, you look at 60,000. I looked up today to make sure what I was talking about. 60,000 Payless shoe store employees going to be out of work in March. 60,000 people. Yeah,
times
yes, all. Exactly. But now think about that and think about what that's going to mean for all those families that are affected, and they have nothing to fall back on. I mean, most of them probably don't have any much savings to speak up, maybe do a month or two or three. But Melly, most people don't have that long. You know that. That's the average citizen probably doesn't have more than a week, if that long, to fall back on. This is what we're facing. Why not do something to try to protect yourself at all possible? Doesn't it make sense?
And I really do believe that whatever is going to happen is going to happen before the next election. You have to understand, I believe it's still controlled. There isn't an agenda. And I do believe that there's no way President Trump, I shouldn't say that because I've been wrong before. I'm not sure he'll be reelected again. They're going to do everything in their power. And so what is the one thing that they can do? And that's crash the economy. I don't know. And then I think to myself, well, the economy is so, the world economy, the financial system, I mean, it's all ready to crash anyway. So is this all timed? Have they brought it all to this point? Well, are they that good?
Well, they might be. I mean, not only
they might be.
You stop and think about the world's, we'll say, leading economies like China, India, U.S., Russia. If one of those links break, it's going to hurt all of us desperately. You know that.
Absolutely. I mean, we're all tied together. The banking system is all tied together. Fiat currencies are all tied together. And I do believe we are at a point in time where that day of reckoning has reached us. And
well, you and I knew it had to happen. And most people that have been sense know it had to come sooner or later. It may not come tomorrow. It may not come in 10 years. But I do look for it to happen, as you said, probably this year, next year. I don't see it going on much longer with the way things are happening. If Basel was going to happen like he said it was, then obviously paper is going to become worthless pretty fast.
Pretty quick.
That's going to devastate so many millions of people. I'm talking about retired people that can't find a job anymore. Businessmen invested their whole business life into paper assets and trying to build on that and maybe have done pretty well up to now. When that goes out, oh my goodness, you're right. It's going to be chaos in the streets. It's going to be nasty. It'll make the Great Depression look like a picnic.
Absolutely. And the bankers, they're already preparing for the other side. They're already preparing for what's going to happen after the system collapses. You can call it whatever you want, reset, whatever you want, when the system collapses. So they always seem to be one step ahead. They're always in the background. We can always, you know, count on, you know, blame certain things and so forth. But they just lead everybody down this path.
They do.
You know, just, yeah.
We got a minute or two left. I want you to explain in layman's terms now, when this goes into effect on April 1st, if it does, and they have a plan to do it. I'm not saying it's not going to. It looks like it's going to. What would that mean to the average individual in this country? What will it mean to the average bank? What are they going to have to do in order to maintain their viability?
Well, it's been a long time since I talked about the Basel, and Basel III was issued again after the recession, after the Great Recession. And, I mean, it was actually founded back in 1974. And so, I mean, and they have different tiers that they have to carry so many assets to liquidity to lower their risks and so forth. And, you know, there's different categories as far as, you know, risk, you know, whether it's 10%, 20%, 50%. 50% or 100%, like Greg Hunter was talking about. We all know that these central banks, they've leased gold, and they've carried it on their books. They release it, Bob Chapman used to talk about it all the time. But they still show as though they're holding it. So I believe that these banks will be going out, and they will be buying gold, and it will push the prices higher. I think they've been buying it. I think that's why the prices have been so hammered with everything that's going on. Are you kidding me? Even Mr. Duffy, the chairman of the CME, a year and a half ago, said, with everything that's going on, gold should be trading at $5,000, $6,000. And that was a year and a half ago. Things are 10 times worse than when they were a year and a half ago. He's the chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Now, if a gentleman knows what the price of gold should be trading for, it is him. You know, he's an insider.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, everybody knows what's going on.
Well, do you think there'll be smaller
except
banks?
Except the general populace.
You think they may go out of business because they can't afford to buy the gold?
Who?
Is that possible? Banks may lose everything because they don't have the assets to purchase gold?
I think, and I've said for a very long time, the biggest scandal in the history of this world is going to be all about gold. And this very well could be the beginning of that scandal. And the gold is not going to be there. So there's not enough gold to go around to cover the numbers that these banks are carrying on debt. And so, yeah, the price, I don't know what the prices can do.
So to sum it up then, April 1st, if this goes through, every bank will be required to have gold in the vault.
They're required to cover. I don't know if they have other assets, and this is something that I have to look at. But the tier one capital, they use that to describe the adequacy of a bank. It's the core capital. And if you can use gold 100%, what do you think these banks are going to do?
Yeah, I'd like to have that answer. Maybe by tomorrow you tell us what's going on there, because that's interesting. If the banks have to have it, I mean, a lot of them probably don't even know it now as far as individual banks. But when they find out about it, they're going to be panicked.
Well, there are different tiers that they can have, and it's broken down. I think, like I said, you have tier one, tier two, tier three. And I have to refresh my memory on how this it's been a while, and I appreciate Greg bringing the Basel Accord
Absolutely.
Back into the limelight, because it's, and I can remember talking about it before, and yeah, it went under the radar. So it's a very interesting insight to
powerful
see.
Bit of news, powerful bit of news, actually.
It is. Absolutely, it is. So
I mean, this could change the nation's economy in a matter of weeks.
It's going to change the price of gold.
Yeah.
In a matter of weeks.
And then that probably economy will go along with it, I would say. Because
I would think.
You're here.
Because it's all linked to gold, ladies and gentlemen. It's all linked to gold. We'll be back tomorrow. You're going to join me tomorrow again?
You can't get rid of me.
And Dave should be back on Friday. No word yet on his little grandbaby, but we're still waiting. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.